It's fascinating that Langton did not place these among the last seven articles on the abuses of the church. And I don't know why he didn't. I don't know why he didn't. But he didn't. Because, of course, the Roman church had already established saints to be intermediaries, additional mediators. Right.
Yeah,
it's too many.
It's just like too many cooks spoil the pot, you know?
Right.
Science table for every single day of the year.
Yeah.
And whatever single cows you can get, you know, things sort of find a couple, things to, you know, to get your wish, get you to find a job, things for everything.
Yeah.
I went to a Greek Orthodox church as part of my assignment for worship, and I was just amazed at the icons around the church that the people would go and kiss and gestate in front of before and during the actual service. It seemed just too busy. It seemed like it was getting in the way of actually just worshiping God.
And it might be. And with the cluttering and the confusion that Daniel just elaborated upon very effectively, it could very well be bad. Or there might be some in the midst of them, I'd say minds, that sounds rather whatever. I'm sure there are Catholics and Orthodox who have Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, before them. And the expressions that are expressed are elaborations of that focus. But maybe not. Maybe it's the other way, right? But one thing for sure, what invites confusion is this problem of denying the one mediator.
Right. So that if you ask him, you know, please, I keep saying, I'm talking about the Catholic Church. I'm not out of resentment. I just, you know, understand that all those things right now that, you know, I'm,
yep.
You know, if you ask a Catholic what you are, he never tell you he's a Christian. He was, he's Catholic.
Right.
You have to look to him why you are.
I hope so. Yeah. Right.
But, you know,
that's what we should say.
Yeah. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I do.
So they put everybody else at the same level. So Christ becomes deluded.
Yeah. No, I understand. And you're describing in my mind kind of the general tendency that has resulted from this confusion, like the denial of one mediator. I do have a cousin, Yolanda, who is Roman Catholic, and if you ask her what she is, she'll say Christian, but it's only because she knows the gospel.
Some people are, you know,
yeah,
they're really good. They have some, you know, I have kind of like some lessons that are really good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying no, because otherwise I have the base of my theology.
Yeah.
It's reinforced by all the education I have.
Exactly.
And I'm very grateful to that. You know?
Yes.
And it's because, you know, they did a way more than that.
The general problem, though.
Right.
And this spills over in terms of the problem with how the word saint is used.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When Paul writes to the saints in Ephesus, thank you, son, he is writing about the living, breathing Christians in Ephesus. The Hagioi are the holy ones, the baptized. You are the holy ones, which is to say, you are the saints. By virtue,
this also means sanctification. First Thessalonians.
Amen.
Correct.
The sanctified ones, the holy ones. And so, with that, when we start to limit the definition of saint to those specially voted upon individuals who represent a great infusion, a miracle or two, and a vote from the upper echelons of the church, we lose something in there. Secondly, there is to be a positive remembrance of saints. We don't deny that, which is why if you check out our Lutheran church year calendar, We remember.
Those were great. I love those.
Yeah, we do. We want to remember St. Barney, you know? St. Barnabas and Timothy and Mary, right?
Yeah.
Because we want to emulate their examples in terms of the gift of faith given to them.
Can we talk about St. Augustine as a science dude?
I'm sorry. Oh, Saint, yeah. Saint, yes, and he was. And he is. And you are, too. And so is Jim.
St. Barney is this Saturday, by the way.
There you go. But having said that, we don't venerate them. This is not about dulia, a lesser worship or veneration. No, no. The Roman computation devoted the most sacred space in rejecting Article 21. They were really offended by our clarification on saints.
Well, this, again, wouldn't there, I mean, you know, you talked about the heart of the matter is theological, but this is also economic, in that if you don't have pilgrimages to these sites, that's going to cut off a big...
Sure, that's not, man.
To whom they're going to sell all those candles.
Yeah. The candles and the cars.
And the figures and, you know, merchandise, like these things.
Tim, do you think in that sense it's kind of like the devotees to, say, Diana in Ephesus that Paul upset because he came in preaching Christ and they wouldn't need to buy all the trinkets?
Slave girl,
yeah, same thing.
Uh-huh.
The owners of the slave girl that didn't like to see
right.
their income go
mm-hmm.
away when he has a demon out of it.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good
I
stuff.
Mean, well, and you know, I think you mentioned, Dr. Esmond, a lot of this is idolatry, so that's the evil one behind that.
Right. Amen. Amen. Blanton in his Counter in Apology draws a sharp distinction between honor and invocation. There's a good distinction. There's a difference between honor and invocation. I should honor Baron. I should not invoke him.
Mm-hmm.
His Counter centers on Christology. To put it mildly, even this obscures the work of Christ and transfers to the saints the trust we should have in Christ versus the Lord. Good quote.
Is it okay to invoke Baron while he's alive? You know what I mean? In the sense that Baron, well, Baron, brother, will you please pray for me this week? You know what I mean? But after he dies, I no longer invoke him.
The difference here is that we can... There's an invocation in the sense of a request
right.
that is based on a mutual relationship. Mm-hmm. And then there's an invocation based on an unequal relationship. Mm-hmm. This reminds me of the forms of covenants in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. There were, to use the New Testament, diathekes, that covenants that were reflective of the unequal relationship between the superior and the inferior. And there was a different type of covenant that's between two equals. So again, this is a reason to appreciate more than one definition of words.
Mm-hmm.
This invocation is a calling upon someone, what we're implying is a superiority.
Right. So I have Catholic friends that say, we don't pray to the saints, we pray through the saints.
Right. Sure.
It's because I need it.
I mean, I'm not saying I buy it. But that's what they say, yeah.
It seems like a delusion.
Did scripture specifically say that we pray to Christ?
Yeah, there's only one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. essentially.
Does it have the relationship to also do, they have to believe that, you know, when somebody dies, you still can have communication with them. You pray to your dead person, but they also do that.
Yes.
Funerals and feet, you know.
Yeah.
That's probably related to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, between when you die, you're still praying for the soul, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, it's not an immediate, but it's just a moment in time, you still here. That's in when you're,
yeah.
You know, like, my dad passed away, so I'll pray to him because he can see for me. And, you know, the way somebody's made to me this is, you know, if my dad would see what's going on with my life, he would be crying and saying, really hurt by
it's
some
not
things.
Heaven.
Yeah, it's not, that wouldn't be heaven for him, you know.
So, and I just, I want to, I want to, I'm really checking myself more than anybody else because I love to be right.
That's good.
I love being right. It just feels so darn good to be right. So as I recognize that, I have to be careful because there are some amazingly dedicated Roman Catholics who are devout Christians.
Amen.
And when they say, in all sincerity, getting back to Michael's question, look, Al, when I ask you to pray for me, I'm invoking prayer from you. And I'm doing the same thing, but don't you believe that we continue to live after we leave
right.
this earth? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm doing. And I'm not replacing Jesus with anybody. Okay, and this is the most sincere answer. Okay?
Sure.
And can a person still ultimately hold Jesus even with that systematic? And I know it's messing with us. I know it's causing all kinds mm-hmm. of dissonance. It should. But I'm certainly not going to say that they're not a Christian. And I'm not saying anyone is. I'm not saying anyone is. But
right.
you get what I'm saying here?
I'm right there with you on that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
I have the
so,
least problem with that compared to other problems.
I tell you what, man. The thing that, I'm on the board for National Mission for the Synod,
mm-hmm.
and my area is life ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And when I took my congregation out in Texas for 40 days of life, and we went to, we went to stand to say, we're for life. And as you're going into this abortion clinic, would you consider another alternative? And we're praying. And as we're coming to those things, guess who is there? From
Catholics.
What? Yeah. Catholics are everywhere.
Yeah.
Standing in public for the unborn.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, praise be to God.
Yeah.
Right? So, just keep that tension, Right? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I ask you so many questions is because, you kind of like doing this, because I think, probably with my ministry, that's the our Hispanic Latino culture is more vivid than Catholic.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to have to deal with these things.
Positively.
To me, this is the time that I can, know the theology in a way, and then use fear spirit,
yeah.
a sensitive way, make sure that I want to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I'm not hurting them.
Yeah.
But at least I know the answers to
yes.
the questions.
And part of it is remembering our identity. Wesley and I were talking about how, we're evangelical, but it's a difficult identity, with evangelicalism.
Yeah.
So one good way of clarifying is that, to kind of distinguish ourselves, we are evangelical Catholics. We are evangelical Catholics.
That's a great.
And I'll talk to you more about that tomorrow. But we've got a lot of Catholicity that enables us to connect with other traditions, and a lot of evangelicalism that allows us to connect to other traditions. It is an exciting place to be.
That's part of the mission.
Yeah.
Work on the things that you're reading instead of looking to the difference.
Yeah, Athena. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My gracious Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the author and perfecter of our faith, and the one mediator between us and the Heavenly Father. Thank you also for always interceding for us. And because you do, we know with absolute certainty that as we pray for our good and for our salvation, that your prayers will most definitely be answered by the Heavenly Father. Praise you, in Jesus' name.
Amen.